anxiety hacks, proven techniques, tools, and tips to calmness. Listen with therapist and author Kate Hudson-Hall as she chats with professionals who share with us excellent ways to calm your anxious behaviours. For more help to relieve your anxiety, check out her exceptional book, Anxiety Hacks, on Amazon.
Oh, hello. Now, my name is Kate Hudson-Hall, and I am an author and also a therapist and also a podcaster. So welcome to Anxiety Hacks. I'm so pleased that you're here with us today. And we have a very special guest, and her name is Ashley Roth. Now, Ashley is a wellness life coach who specializes in working with highly sensitive people, with a focus on helping 20 to 35 year old women struggling with self-esteem, using their own voice and limiting beliefs. Ashley empowers her clients to recognize their inherent value and build their confidence. Through her practice, Ashley encourages her clients to understand that they are their own mold. I really like that, because we all have our own individual molds. I like that. And to embrace their individuality. Ashley herself deals with daily anxiety, but finds solace in the knowledge that she doesn't need to compare herself to anyone else, as everyone is on their own journey. So welcome, Ashley.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
So now, so tell us about your struggles with anxiety. Let's start there.
Yeah, of course. I would say that, you know, I've always struggled with anxiety from a very young age. I would say when I first started noticing it happening was on the bus ride to middle school. Right. I would feel like it would like happen at the same like spot on a street, same like part of the route where like I was getting close enough to school and I knew I was going to be in school, that I just get this big pit in my stomach. Just like a really awful feeling. And I, you know, all through school would constantly be in the nurse's office saying that I had a stomach ache or that I felt like I was sick because I didn't want to be at school and I wanted my mom to pick me up.
I can so relate to that. I was like that the age of like 12, from five. But I remember at seven, I even got to the point of where I would take tablets at home. I didn't really know what I was taking, but I remember taking tablets and it did work for that first day. And she let me stay at home because I really didn't feel well. And then I did it again another day. And then she said, no, I don't believe you. Go on, go to school. And then I told my friend and then she told her mother and then the word got around and then I was scorned. And that was about it. And then I was sent off to back to school. But it was that awful separation anxiety from my mother.
Yeah. Because my mom, she was a stay-at-home mom. My dad worked. So, you know, I was always with my mom. And it was always like that's where I would go. And like it was where the comfort was. And so I don't know. I just didn't feel comfortable at school. I think part of it was that like I would get bullied. And like I didn't feel like I belonged. Yeah, I think, you know, a mixture of those things. Yeah. And then my anxiety got worse when I was in high school. And that was when I started to get medicated and started therapy. And actually learned tools of how to work with my anxiety and how to not let it control me.
And I think as well, you know, it's so difficult for, you know, just backtracking a moment and you know, when a child, you know, that fine line between whether a child is actually playing up or whether they are really struggling with anxiety, it's actually taking time out to listen to the child and hear what they're saying, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding. I would say in all the generations before my generation, but like with the kids that I grew up with, I think, you know, our parents didn't understand mental health. Didn't know what the signs were, didn't know where to go for help, felt a lot of shame around it.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point is the shame around it. And that shadow is still there around the words mental health, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still a little bit
Even
taboo.
though, you know, it is beginning to lift slightly, but it's still there.
Yeah, and it's hard to find treatment. So many of us are looking for it, you know, especially in the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, when I was at school, it was actually in the 1800s. Well, it was close enough. So people really had no idea that never what you know what anxiety. Well, we never called it anxiety, but I was just told that I was just a big worrier, and I was nervous, scared little person. And oh my gosh, I just went through a horrific time. And I think it was because part of it was because my father had died when I was two, so my mother was everything. So she was a mother and a father wrapped one. And she would work from home part time, and so she, you know, she was everything, and I had this huge need to take care of her, because from a very young age, from when I remember, is that I'd see her crying all the time, so I felt I had to nurture her as well and look after her, so sort of reinforce that separation anxiety. And then when I went to boarding school when I was 11, it went downhill from there.
Well, why wouldn't it, right?
Absolutely. Oh, I got very good at separation anxiety then. And I cried every night for the first, I know, at least 3 years.
That must have been so hard.
Because of missing her, yeah.
Horrible. How did you get through it?
So we'd go, an 8 week term. And then after about, I'd see her at half term. So we'd go to start at the beginning of the term, I'd see her at half term. And then I'd get to the 5th week, and I'd see her on the 6th week in the half between, half the term. And then I'd be all right for that 1 week. And then I'd see her again. And then the whole thing would spiral up again.
Yeah. It's so difficult, right?
Yeah, and I think for you, like you said, with the bullying as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a fun world as a kid.
Yeah.
It's really harsh, and that's all you want as a kid, right? Is to feel like you have a place and to feel like people like you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of what you're striving for, isn't it? Trying to fit in.
Yeah. That's what I thought I wanted. I just wanted to be liked by everybody. I wanted to be everybody's friend. I was like the biggest social butterfly. Like my parents would make fun of me and not make fun of me, but they would say I could make friends with a paper bag or in a paper bag. I would just talk to anybody. Yeah, but with anxiety, that goes away.
Yeah.
Definitely more of a shut-in, or became more of a shut-in for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so when you got older, then you started to, you found a therapist. And then what tools did you find that helped you back then?
Back then, I think what helped me was journaling. And not that I was ever really good at it or good at sticking with it, but going to the gym or exercising, I would say would help. Like in high school, I really enjoyed when I was playing sports and when I was in those seasons and I was going to practice, and because those teams, those are my teams. I loved those people. They were my friends. And so that's where I felt comfortable and felt good and felt like in my own. And so I think that's where it really grew more to these are my self-care things. And these are the things that make me happy. And what I'll go to when I don't feel so happy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's true, isn't it? By joining a team, then they become your people, don't they? Your friends. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I ended up joining hockey cheerleading. I had never ever done cheerleading before in my life, and I was so anxious. I cannot believe that I actually succeeded in the 2 days of the first tryout, because I was not meant to be there at all. But I think that my passion and my excitement to be on a team got me a spot. And I really enjoyed it. And I ended up being a captain for my junior and senior year.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So it was just like
Excellent.
that I look back on that time and like think about like whenever I'm struggling now, that like you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone to get to a better point.
That's a
Yeah.
very good point, isn't it? Because
Yeah.
if you don't and you stay in your little comfort zone, you're never going to change. You'll just be around and round and round.
Exactly. It's we want change, we want better, but with change is the unknown. And the unknown scares us. And we know, even though like our comfort zone isn't what we want and we're not happy in it, we know what to expect from it. So we have less anxiety with that.
Yeah.
There's so much anxiety to start something new.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just get past that anxiety. Like the world is your oyster.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as well, journaling is so powerful for people with anxiety, but with other problems as well, other issues. Because by writing out your thoughts and your feelings, you can begin to let them go, kind of understand them and let them go.
Yeah, there is like a very true peace in getting it out on paper and having it be released from your mind. Like that mental baggage is like released so quickly, and the how quick that you can feel the relief from it is insane. And it doesn't, you don't even have to have like a structured journal, like just write.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For a lot of my clients, they'll just sort of brain dump and write. And
Exactly.
then they'll go through and scribble it all out or rip it out and shred it or burn it, or you don't even have to read it again. It's just
Exactly.
actually getting it out and getting it out of your head, off your chest, and off anywhere else may need to come off.
You're like putting it in a box, sealing it, and sending it off. Like, I will
Yeah.
never see you again.
And so the anxiety sort of progressed, it sort of continued throughout your life.
Yeah, it did. Because I thought that it was just anxiety. I thought it was just anxiety and depression, but I always felt like there is something missing. Like a piece missing. There was something wrong with me. I was never going to succeed, never going to live up to my expectations or somebody else's expectations. Like what is wrong with me? And when I was 22, I got a new therapist. Through BetterHelp, it's pretty well known now. But that my therapist, I'm still with her now to this day. She introduced me to the highly sensitive person, which is the personality trait that affects one in five people. And when she, went down the list of like symptoms and, things that people who are HSPs have, I was like, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. Like, I've never been. Or felt like more understood by anything or anybody in my entire life. And that was the missing piece. That was the missing piece. Like, I didn't know that it was my nervous system and external stimuli and the way that I process it.
Right.
How would I have known that?
Yeah, exactly. So explain for listeners what that means.
HSP or a highly sensitive person is very similar to a lot of different things. Like it can be passed off as anxiety. It can be passed off as introversion or empathy. It can be passed off as ADHD, all of these different things. But the main things are that your body, your nervous system processes the environment on a more rapid scale than the other 80% of the world. So I can hear like the birds chirping with the windows closed and everything. Like I can hear a train like half a mile down. Fabrics bother me. It's really hard to control temperature, like your heat and cold. A lot of things like that. So it's just definitely like your environment just more so controls you than you controlling your environment. And it involves like stress and anxiety and the gut. And so I also was diagnosed with IBS right around the same time as the HSP. And so it all connects and I'm like, okay, this all makes sense now. And so there's a book by the doctor, Elaine Aron. It's called The Highly Sensitive Person. And there's a workbook along with it as well. I immediately got them, read them. And there's just so many tools in there of how to set up your day and how to set up your week and your life to let your sensitivity work for you, not against you.
Nice. So if people feel that they could well be a highly sensitive person, what would you suggest? What would be the first thing that they could do?
The first thing that they could do is go on Elaine's website because there's a self-test that she has.
So what is her name?
Elaine Aron.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But we'll put her name in the show.
Right. Yeah. I can send you her link so that you can put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would do the self-test. And if you score that you probably are highly sensitive, I would get the book and read the book. And then, I would get the workbook. And then also I'm pretty good at, helping with the resources and tools. So if you wanted to work with me, you could work with me.
Yeah. And so if people were interested, though, to find out more, if they got the book and then they were interested in maybe working with you, how would you help people? What would be the steps?
So right now I have one-to-one coaching. And so that's just private coaching. It's very similar to like a therapy session. But I have a 12-week program with all different topics to talk about different sensitivities or different things in your environment that can cause your sensitivity to be heightened and how to attack that or control that and bring it back into center and bring yourself back to baseline. I have an analogy, which is called like the strength model, which I created. And it's based off of everything that Elaine says to do on a daily basis. And so it's, saying no to the things that you don't want to do, right? Making sure that you make space each day to rest, because with the sensitivity, we get fatigued a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Things like that. Self-help tools, CBT, emotion regulation skills, goal setting.
And so if somebody had anxiety, though, they came to you, how would you help them? What advice have you got for our listeners?
What advice do I have for the listeners? The first couple of things that I would suggest is to have a mantra that you say to yourself to like just bring yourself back to center. The one that I say to myself is peace begins with me. And so I connect all my fingers to just kind of bring myself like slowing down, right? Like try to bring my heart rate back down. I use the five senses. So, noticing five things that you can see around you, four things that you can hear, three things that you can touch, two things that you can taste, one thing that you can smell, I think is the last one.
Yeah.
Having somebody that you could call on.
Right.
To reach out to for support.
Yeah.
Using distraction tools. People often think that distraction is not a good thing, but I always like to say like it depends on what you're distracting yourself with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's getting you out of your head and your body, isn't it? And taking your mind elsewhere and focusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I would say journaling. 100%.
Yeah.
always.
Yeah.
Always drive that home. Yeah, music, podcasts, taking a walk.
Yes.
Just movement.
Yeah, good. So good.
Yeah.
And so have you got any books that may help people with anxiety? Any books that helped you?
Books that helped me with anxiety. The first one is The Highly Sensitive Person.
Yeah.
anything by Brené Brown.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Anything by Brené Brown. Yeah, the probably one of my favorites from her is I Thought It Was Just Me, But It Isn't.
Right, I haven't read that one. Yeah,
it's really
that's
good.
A good one, is it? Why is that? Why is that a good one?
Because it makes you feel seen, and it makes you understand that like nobody has it easy almost, and like it just to like remind yourself like to t- like it, how I talk about it is like, we only see people's highlight reels. Like we don't see like the bad days or, you know, the crummy things that people feel on their day to day on the social media, how that's so, you know, rampant right now, the last few years. It's like, we think that everybody has all of this amazing stuff and that like, we're nowhere near where they are, but we all have anxiety. We all have traumas. We all have things that we're not proud of or things that, you know, make us nervous. We just don't share it.
Yeah.
But I think what's important is that we should share it. And I think that's what Brené does.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It lit a fire in me when I read it.
Oh, I say that's interesting. Yeah, we'll have to check that one out. And I think that's really important with the social media, particularly for, you know, well, for everybody of every age, really, isn't it? That, you know, people will, they just share, you know, all the positivities, and they don't share, you know, any negatives.
Yeah, yeah, it's
hardly
really
ever.
It's really hard to one, not compare yourself, and it's really hard to like believe that they have bad things going on if they don't share it.
Yeah, yeah, because you know you only see them having a good time. You don't see them and think about them having a difficult time in any way.
Right. Right.
And that's such a large negative part of social media.
Yeah, is the comparing. That's, you know, that's all we're all fighting for, that like, you know, that spotlight of, oh my God, look what she has, or look what they have, and look how far along they are in their life, and I wish I had that.
Yeah.
When it's like, you should, you know, we should all be taking some more time to look within and have gratitude for like what we do have. Like I love taking like either a monthly or a quarterly, just like brain dump of what I'm grateful for, what I've done in the last few months, how I've grown, because you really forget to think about it.
Yeah. And it's really invigorating and motivating to look back and see what you have achieved.
Yeah, you're like, oh, you know, wow.
Even like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, to see, oh my gosh, you know, I'd made these goals and look, I have achieved these, and now I've moved on and I'm doing this now. And it's just, yeah.
Exactly.
Stopping
exactly.
And recognizing, you know, how far you have come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. And that's why I love journaling too, is like I keep all of my journals. Like, yeah. I like to look back and see where I was, you know, years ago, or what I was struggling with, and just like how I brought myself out of it. And just like, I always think about like my darkest times and how I never expected to be like this happy or where I am now, and like have the life and the family that I have. It's just, it's mind blowing.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, that's fabulous. So Ashley, so how can people contact you?
People can contact me either through Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Facebook, my email, my phone number.
And so what is your handle?
My handle is Strength and Sensitivity Coaching.
Right. Okay. And what's your email?
StrengthInsensitivity22@gmail.com.
Okay. Okay. Okay, good. And so the name of your website is strengthandsensitivity.com.
Yes, it's strengthandsensitivitycoaching.com.
Right. Okay, good. I say. Oh, well, Ashley, well, thank you so much for joining us.
Kate, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's been fun to talk to you.
Yes, it was a lovely conversation.
Yeah. Oh, great. And well, thank you to everybody for listening. And make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, iTunes, or wherever you may listen so you never miss an episode. And of course, it'd be wonderful if you got a moment to leave a review. That would be fantastic. So thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you, Kate.
Yeah, and I look forward to speaking to you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Anxiety Hacks, the podcast. If you've been affected by anything discussed in this presentation and would like further information, please go to katehudson-hall.com. That's katehudson-hall.com.